Hi, this is Eric Casto, and I want to thank you for taking time to tune into the Oasis podcast. And, you know, we've been in a series on heaven is a real place. And, you know, I don't know if you ever really can get away from that reality, because when you start talking about the things of God, it always brings you right back to the throne of God, back to Him and loving Him. And so what we're going to get into today is we're going to be looking at miracles. And, you know, as we focus on the throne of God and being in His presence, you cannot avoid that miracles are going to begin to manifest in your midst. Now, Jesus said something very, very wonderful in the book of Matthew, and I just have to take time and read it. Matthew chapter 6, and He was talking about prayer. And so in Matthew chapter 6, it says this in verse 6. He says, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now, Jesus then, He turned around. Now, Jesus taught on prayer. He was a man of prayer. He taught on prayer. Now, in John chapter 16, He says something amazing that goes right with it. In verse 23, John chapter 16, verse 23, and it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Up to now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy shall be full. Verse 25. 26. And in that day you shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I'm going to pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Now, when you get into this, it's so powerful, because he says all of this is based on a truth, that you believe that Jesus came out from God. Now, in the Greek, there's the word ek. It's just two letters, E-K. And that's the best way I can try to spell it in English, E-K, ek. And what it actually means is to come out from a source. And so what he's saying is you have believed that God is the source, and I came forth out of Him. Now, we know that Jesus is the Word of God, and we know that words come forth out, and so the Father, He speaks His words are coming forth for who He is, and that's the relationship that Jesus has with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they are one. And so Jesus says this, listen, because you believe that I came forth out of God, then He turns around by the Spirit of God in 1 John. He says, out of God you are. God being the source, you've come forth out of Him. Why? Because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, because of this operation of faith, Jesus says, as you go into your prayer closet, shut the door and begin to pray. And as you pray, the time will come where you're going to stand up and leave the prayer closet. And He says, when you leave the prayer closet, God is going to go into operation rewarding you. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about miracles. We're talking about spending time in God's presence, so that when we leave His presence, things begin to happen. I mean, I remember years ago I had been praying, and after I got done praying, I just went down to a store. I had to buy something, and I went in and I simply began to look at what I needed, and the worker came over, and he was helping me, but he kept staring at me, and I felt uncomfortable. I said, "What?" I thought in my mind, I'm thinking, "What is he staring at?" Well, finally, he stops and says, "What is that presence all over you?" Well, then I realized, you know, I said, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I've been talking with God. I've been in prayer, and I talk to God, and He talks to me." And I began to witness to the young man. Now, how did that happen? Well, that just came because I had been in my prayer closet, and when I left the prayer closet, things began to happen. I mean, just the other day, I was checking out at the grocery store, and there's the young man. He's ringing up my groceries, and he had a cross around his neck, and then there was a man bagging, another guy kind of bagging the food. And I said to the young man at the cash register, I said, "I like your cross. You know, I like crosses." And I said, "I like your cross." He says, "Thank you." And I said, "Are you a Christian?" He says, "Well, I really am getting back to faith and pursuing God again." And he began to tell me, I said, "That's wonderful." I said, "Jesus loves you." Now, let me just say, this guy over here bagging the groceries, he's acting like he's not paying attention, right? But he's paying attention because there's nothing else. I mean, there's no other conversations going on. And so I just start talking to this young man. I said, "I'm proud of you." I said, "This is amazing." I said, "I know what Jesus did in my life." And I said, "He's got a plan for you." And then I got quiet. And then I just felt. And I turned to this young man bagging my groceries. And I said, "Young man, where are you with the Lord? Where are you with your relationship with Jesus Christ?" And because he had been listening. And, you know, I can, you know, he didn't want to be in that conversation because he knew he wasn't right with the Lord. But it just kind of just flowed. I didn't try to make this happen. I had been in prayer. And as I left prayer, there I am. And all of a sudden, it's just the love of God is flowing out, encouraging one man and witnessing of the Lord's goodness and his love to another man. And those are just some interesting examples of being in your prayer closet and then leaving your prayer closet, and then things start to happen. I mean, I can tell you times I've been in my prayer closet, and then I get out and I go in the car and I'm driving down the road and someone almost hits me. And it's almost amazing that there's almost like a buffer zone that they can't cross through. And you thank God for angels. But you know, this word is true. Jesus said, as you go in and you pray and you spend time loving the Father, and Jesus said, "I'm not going to be the one praying for you." Isn't that amazing? He says, "You're going to pray. You're going to use my name, and you're going to go right to the Father, and you're going to get some boldness and confidence in who he is and his love for you." I love that Jesus wants us to have this relationship with the Father, that we have a heavenly Father. And, you know, I know that so many times, you know, our life is about Jesus, and it should be, and it has to be. But you know what? Jesus' greatest heart is that we pursue him, that we also develop a faith and a relationship with our heavenly Father, because the time's coming where we're going to see him. And he's going to wipe the tears away, and we're going to, I mean, it's, oh, I tell you what, right now you can't see him, the power and the glory of who he is. Oh, I tell you, but the time's going to come when we're all going to be changed, and all of a sudden that glory cloud that covers our Father, and it's going to part, and we're going to see him. And I'm telling you what, Jesus is going to be jumping in, up and down for joy, because he's been telling us and telling us and telling us how wonderful the Father is, how wonderful and glorious. He's just pure love. But the power. I mean, you're talking about he's sitting on a throne that looks like a sapphire, and there's an emerald rainbow over him with thunder and lightning and voices and a cloud that just covers him of power. It's just his power and his glory. He's not covering himself because he's hiding. It's just the radiant essence of the Father. And Jesus is the image of the Father. And he came in order to talk about the Father, to bring us back to the Father. And he's like, hey guys, when you pray, I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray. You're going to come to the Father, and you're going to learn to trust him. Because when you leave your prayer closet, things are going to happen. Now, as I lay that foundation, we just want to stop and go pray, don't we? I mean, that's what I'm ready to go pray. But we're talking about power, the power of Almighty God, and miracles, because God is a God of miracles. And I really believe there's been a shift in the world that we're living in right now, this year. And even, you know, you look at it in the United States, it's like in the realm of government and business, things are shifting and they're taking off kind of like the word that's being said is like at the speed of light. Things are just moving forward in our nation. But I've never seen so much prayer going on. Now, not everybody's praying, but there's a lot of people praying and heartfelt, fervent, crying out to God, crying out for revival, crying out for our nation. And you're supposed to do that. Whatever nation you live in, you're supposed to be crying out for your nation. And so during this time, this is the time I believe that there's visitation in the earth where I believe there's a harvest release. And so as we go into miracles, it's obviously going to bleed into or merge into the whole, you know, message on harvest. And really, that's kind of where we've got to get back to that. You know, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. And the reason the Gentile church is on the earth is we're a harvest mechanism. We are here to make the Jews envious because God's not done with the Jews. But right now we're in this, hey, you should be envious. Look at these people who are not a people. They're comprised of every nation on the planet, but they are a nation. They're called the church, the body of Christ, and they have the power of God. And so we're here to make the Jews envious, but to love them and to help them and to preach the gospel to them. And to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are the Gentile church, but we are the body of Christ. And our calling is to be focused on this harvest of the Gentiles, of all men, actually. But, you know, there's relatively a few Jewish people compared to the multiplied billions of people that are in the nation. So our biggest focus, the nations, and that's where we need to be exerting our influence. What we're talking about miracles. So this is going to be the first episode, and it's just, you know, one step at a time, one step. And obviously we've laid the foundation today on prayer, praying, and then leaving our prayer closet with an expectation that, hey, I've been in the presence of the Father. Things have to change. Whatever this is, this mountain that's been facing me, the Bible says the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So we spend time with the Father. We spend time boldly coming into heaven. You know, you're not, when you go into your prayer closet, don't go, well, I'm going into my prayer closet. I mean, I understand that's what we're doing. But you're not doing that. You're going into heaven. And we need to set that as a precedent. When I go to pray, I'm not going to get on my knees in my office, shut the door and pray. No, I'm going to heaven before the throne. Jesus said, come boldly He didn't say, come boldly into your prayer closet. He didn't say that. He says, go boldly into the most holy place, into the holy of holies, where you can receive. So right now, wherever you are, I want you, and I'm talking to myself. As I go into prayer, I'm going into heaven. Colossians chapter 3, it says, you know, if you're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on the things that are above. Why? Because we have access to heaven. We have access to go in there. I'm just getting blessed out of my socks. In fact, I live in Florida and I'm not even wearing socks right now. And I've already been so blessed, my socks aren't even on. And but to think that you can go into heaven and spend time there so that when you come out of that, the Father says, I'm going to be all over you. And I want you just start going over to your mountains and let me start to melt them. And I believe that as we're in this, I believe mountains are going to be melting. As you're listening to the Word of God, I believe that there are things in your life that are just, they're going to begin to melt. So sometimes God does a wonderful miracle and things disappear, you know. But other times, things have to melt. And it means that, you know, day one, they kind of still looks the same, you know, the iceberg. It looks the same. Day two, you know, kind of looks the same. But by day three, you're going, no, it's smaller. And by day four, no, it is smaller. By day five and six, and by the time you get to day seven, eight, and nine, or whatever, you know, it's just a little ice cube floating, and it's not as intimidating as it used to say. You know, your mountain used to yell at you and say, look how great I am. But because you kept carrying the presence of God to it. Now, I want you to get this. I don't care what your mountain has said. I don't care how tired you are. That's not the issue. You're going to find out, at least when that little ice cube is floating out there, still screaming like it's, you're going to go, you were really nothing anyways compared to God. And so we're talking about miracles. God is a God of miracles, and his power hasn't disappeared. And so in this, you know, I want you to look at the book of Psalms, chapter 63. I think this is kind of where we're going to make our keynote scripture and then kind of just step off from there. But since we're talking about prayer, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come boldly to you. Right now, though I'm at my computer desk, but I believe I'm in heaven right now, before the throne, the altar, the angels, the blood. Father, I want to thank you for the cloud of glory and that Jesus is at your right hand. And Lord, I'm praying to you right now. I'm asking that you would, by revelation, understanding, come upon this podcast and begin to instruct our hearts and to teach us in order to walk in power. And Lord, just as I believe I was prophesying, is that there are mountains in people's lives right now that are melting. They maybe don't see it, but they're melting because they haven't given up, because they keep worshiping you. And these things, they're not going to stay. They melt like wax. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Now, Psalms chapter 63, this is the psalmist. O God, you're my God. Early I'll seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, that's kind of the prayer. That's kind of the condition. He is so hungry for God. Now, verse 2, this is our keynote. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. David had a vision. David had an experience where he was taken up into heaven. And you're just getting one little verse about this. Now, you can't read the book of Samuel or Chronicles and see into that experience. There is no documentation of it. Isaiah had a documented experience in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "I saw the Lord," and it talks about this experience that he had when he was seeing the Lord. Now, Isaiah probably would have said, "I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body," because he's seeing into heaven, and then the next thing he says, "I'm seeing into the temple of God, into the sanctuary," and then he starts talking about his house, and he's talking about the doors of his house, and that his house is just full of the glory of God. So his body definitely is still down in his house, and he comes back and he sees that everything that he's seeing in heaven is manifesting on the earth. That means the earth is the footstool. Everything that's happening at the throne of God is having an effect on the footstool, okay? But David, there's no, experience other than when you get to Psalms chapter 63, he says, "To see thy power and thy glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary." So here David is talking about that he has had an experience in the sanctuary, and while he was there, he just saw power and glory. Now, I would imagine there's a lot of things that you can pull from when you go to heaven. I mean, you could probably, every minute that you're there, you can probably write about, you know, the love. You can write about the love. You can write about the songs. You can write about angels. But what David is saying, what he came away with, was just the power, the pure power, and the glory. And so that's why we're going into this. God is a God of power. He's got a lot of power. We're his sons and his daughters. We have rights to that power. And so, what an amazing topic we're getting into, miracles. And so what I want to leave you with for this first podcast, I want you to think about your prayer time. I want you to think about when you go in, heaven's a real place, and you're spending time there. You're building your faith there in his word. And when you leave that, I want you need to cognitively say, "Hey, now my faith is being released because the Father said he's going to reward." That means there's a realm of miracles that's going to go into operation. And God's given you armor. You got the armor of God on to stand your ground and to move forward in his power. Now, that's enough for this first one. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. And listen, don't forget, we just finished our second edition on the School of Acts. You can go to our website and go in. You can order that. You can get it off of Amazon. You can go into Westbow Press. You can get it off of our website. Get a copy. Go in and listen to the audio files. Take the school. You're going to see the New Testament church, the first century church, through the filter of how these guys lived and what made them so powerful. And it's going to affect your life. It's going to be a blessing to you. Until next time, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.